Hi folks, Paddy here. Thank you again, and as always, for downloading this podcast. It's not all about me, a show featuring a guy with me and a mic, and that's me, Paddy. So jumping straight in again from last week, thank you very much for downloading that show as well. If you haven't listened to it yet, I did a show on chronic illness and weight gain. Clearly a very personal, emotive subject. Out of all the kind of shows that I've done so far, I was quite surprised, but I guess on reflection, seeing how much kind of recording that show affected me, I was quite surprised. That was the most interaction, the most contributions I've received for a show yet. So thank you to everybody who got in touch to share their experience of weight control, weight gain, weight issues with chronic illness such as ME, CFS. It was a very personal show to do, and I have to say that since recording it, I have been a little bit more aware of, a lot more aware, I should say, of what I've been putting into my body. And that doesn't mean by any means that I've been healthier. It probably means more that when I haven't been healthy, I've just been more guilty about that. So, you know, that's good. I'm not going to, you know, check in every week talking about my weight or anything. It's not that kind of show. But please, if you were struck by anything in that show, or any of them, of course, but I do know that touched a lot of people, kind of. I think it is very personal. It seems like an issue that really affects an awful lot of people that doesn't maybe get talked about too much, weight gain with chronic illness. And given the cultural, you know, the climate we live in, the world that we live in, it's something that can, I think, and does lead to an awful lot of emotional and spiritual and mental issues as well as physical. Whenever you kind of against all things that you can possibly put in place, all interventions that you can put in place, you continue to perhaps put on weight, and the difficulties and challenges of dealing with, you know, treats or reward food or a new relationship to food, whenever maybe a tasty treat is your highlight of the day because you can't really do much else. But hey, I'm getting back into that episode. Have a listen, episode 22. I got a lot from recording it. It wasn't easy to record it, but I got a lot from recording it. So check it out. Let me know what you think. On Twitter, we're at it's... What the heck is my Twitter? Do you know, it's been like a month since I recorded a new show. I'll get onto that in a second, and I have no idea what my Twitter is. Oh yeah, at zero all about me. How could I forget that? At zero all about me on Twitter and on email. It's really not all about me at gmail.com. If you want to get in touch, you want to come on the show, you want to contribute in some way, anyway, whatever you want, get in touch. It's really nice to hear from folk. This is an illness that can very easily lead to isolation and loneliness, and I know the corner, our little corner of the Twitter universe, keeps a lot of us going. I really, you know, it's lovely to hear your messages and your experience, and to reach out and have some connection with everybody out there. So thank you for once again joining us for a chat. This week it is all about me. I don't have a guest on this week. I'm lining quite a few up at the moment, so I'll probably record several over the next few weeks, health allowing. So there will be, I try and have a guest on every 2 weeks. It hasn't worked out this time because of my break. You know, you would have thought if I took a month off, I might have, you know, set something up, but I didn't. I just took a month off. So yeah, guests upcoming this week, just me. I thought I would take a little time to talk about what I'm doing at the moment. I took a month off there, and you know, I won't suggest that I took a month off to 100% work on my health and try out lots of new things like a lot of you guys do. I just took a month off for a holiday. Sometimes I spent working on my health. Other times it was just a little holiday where I didn't have to worry about editing and recording and uploading and tweeting and finding guests and talking and all that. So I was going to say I might do that next year again, but I guess the hope with these kind of illnesses is that, you know, there'll be a time when actually I'm too involved in other things to do the show. This show's really important to me, and that's a very selfish thing to say, I know. But I think we all wish for each other a recovery, you know, don't we? I think so. You know, it's a chronic illness though, so let's not worry about it. Last year, I had a health assessment, and you know, for to see if I could receive benefits in the United Kingdom, Great Britain, Northern Ireland, and I had to go to a health assessment. And one of the things I said to that person was, "Look, you know, I don't want to be seeing you in a year and a half. I want to be, you know, I want to be out of here. I want to be, you know, making my way again, back in the human population, participating in life fully again." And that is becoming increasingly unlikely as I truly begin to appreciate what chronic illness means. As somebody, a previous guest on the show, and I honestly can't remember who it was, unfortunately, I'm sorry. But a previous guest on the show said that one of the most important things that people often maybe skip over is the C in CFS. I certainly did, I think, early days, hoping for a quick turnaround if I just did the right thing. You listen back to my early episodes, that's what it's all about. It's all about solving the puzzle, solving the mathematical puzzle, solving the jigsaw puzzle, finding the right combination of interventions that will mean, bum, 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 I'm back up on my feet and working a full-time job, you know, and participating fully in life. And I appreciate now, 23 episodes later, I appreciate that I wasn't really paying attention to the first letter in CFS, and that is chronic. But I'm not down at heart about that. That's an acceptance thing, I think. Anyway, have a sip of coffee and let's move on. So, I said that this week I'd check in and tell you what I'm working on at the moment. I'm not trying to solve the puzzle, but I think I try at all times to be doing something, trying to make some investigative progress or exploration or physical, you know, progress in my illness. So I mentioned this in our last episode, and I'm going to be talking about how I'm trying to apply a very strict pacing guideline in my life. But yeah, I said I'd mention briefly taking a month off. I took the month of June and a little bit of July off this year, last month. So there was a nice long gap between episodes. Thank you for your patience and for jumping back on the episode 22 whenever I finally did release it. I'm very grateful that we didn't lose listeners. And in fact, while I was off and there was not even any episodes being posted, being the vain person I am and, you know, checking the numbers on a regular basis, I did see that people were downloading the show, and that's absolutely fantastic. So welcome to all the new listeners. Hello. If you're still with us after 10 minutes, well done you. I start slow, but I finish, you know, slow. It's Emmy. What are you going to do? So yeah, took a month off. Like I said, I didn't take a month off to do, you know, to dedicate myself to doing some significant research into Emmy or anything. I just took a month off. Some of it was spent on the sofa in a crash. Some of it was not. So nothing really massively changed, I gotta say. But there you go. Just took a month off, and now we're back. So just before I went off, I told you I had started a new very strict pacing program. So this is available online. I found a PDF, and this is what we're working off. It was called ME/CFS-YouCanGetBetter, the Get Well Guidelines. And these are recovery guidelines that have been developed and used by Dr. David Smith, with lots of letters, MBCH.BBSC. And Dr. David Smith, MBCHBBSC, has been for over 25 years treating patients on the NHS, the National Health Service, and his Essex-based clinic. So I came across this. I was doing a Google for something else, and I thought, oh, I'll see what this Dr. David Smith has to say about You Can Get Better. That's a bold statement at the beginning of the PDF. Again, you can download this from quite a few different sources. So just Google Dr. David Smith, You Can Get Better, and you'll find it pretty easily. I'll try and remember to put a link to it in the show notes as well. So I came across this, and I will say, as we begin, this is just my experience. You're listening to a guy who is trying things to recover from their illness. It's an experiment. So I'm not advocating for this. I'm telling you what I'm trying, and I'm going to tell you what effects it's had on me. I'm not in any way suggesting, you know, I am experimenting, and that's all. So I'm not attaching my horse to any particular cart. I'm not flying any particular flag. This is an experiment. So you know, if you haven't tried this and you like the sound of what it is, then feel free to try it. The link is probably in the show notes, if I remembered. And if you don't, you don't. And if you think, I've heard of this guy, he's a quack, he's a snake oil salesman, then that's just fine as well. You know, I haven't done any research into the individual Dr. David Smith who created this, so I don't know anything about him. I'm just, you know, I try things because I want to get better. So if somebody presents a PDF, a pamphlet that says ME/CFS, you can get better, well, I'm going to try that. And you know, I don't see any harm. There is potential harm. There's potential harm, I guess, as we found from the PACE trials and all that kind of stuff. And I think that's also part of the experiment. If I come across something and I say, guys, this was my experience, I was ill for 3 months after trying this, that would be, you know, whenever it comes to having a chronic illness, the way I see it, it's worth trying, isn't it? Because if it lands you on your ass for a month, what's the difference? Just don't keep doing it, you know? So let's see what Dr. David Smith has been telling me to do. So, as I said, this is a pacing thing. I've talked about pacing in a very early episode. I've never really been very good at it. I'm a very impatient person. I'm a person who has a lot of pride, probably. I constantly, if there's anything consistent about me and my illness, it's that I'm constantly pushing myself beyond what I really should be doing. You know, I just, all the time, I will accept invitations to things I really know I should say no to, because I just don't like the idea of not participating in life. I find that very hard, always have, and haven't found a way to live with it yet. So I will push myself beyond my limits, and I will pay for it, as you guys know. You know what happens whenever we push ourselves too far. So this is about pacing. Now, Dr. David Smith, I'm not going to read through the pamphlet like I did last time on our episode on pacing. I'm just going to tell you what I've taken. I've tried to apply basically his thinking and his suggestions quite rigorously, I'm quite a fan of rigorous application in experiment, because then I think once I've rigorously tried something, I can then rule it out if it doesn't work for me. But if I've half-assed it, then I don't really think I can rule it out. I don't think I've given it a fair college try. So I've tried to rigorously apply Dr. David Smith's thinking. And basically what that means is it's pacing. It's what all you guys probably know is pacing. I'm just, like I said, because I'm stubborn and proud, I probably haven't given actual, real, genuine pacing a good try, even though I recorded an episode on it months ago, almost a year ago probably, but I still haven't actually rigorously applied it. So that's what I've tried to do. The real, and I mentioned this last episode at the beginning, I made slight reference to this. The big change for me in applying this program of pacing is the discipline, and a major part of that discipline is no screens. So that's, for me, if you want to say, well, what's the big difference? What's the big thing going on here that you haven't done before? The answer is no screens, he says, as he's staring at a laptop screen and an iPad screen recording a podcast. All right, slap on the wrist from Dr. David Smith, but let's continue. Ignore that. That's, you know, I'll look out the window while recording. I'm not looking at the screens. To a lovely rainy Irish summer day. So no screens, no television, no video games. Whenever I think about my time, whenever I am pretty ill, it can be pretty much summed up. And I think this is the case with quite a lot of people, as you know, whenever I'm really ill, I can't look at a screen. Yeah, a television screen or even a Kindle, you know, I can't. It's strictly audiobooks or silence. But whenever I'm pretty ill, as in I'm not in bed, but I'm on the sofa, it's a screen. It's Netflix. It's pro wrestling. It's Amazon. Whatever you want to watch, you know, it's binge watching. And it's that's a day goes by like that. So this pacing is about not having any screens regardless. So that's been a major change for me, because that is how I spend a lot of my time when I'm feeling not great, would be watching TV. Now, of course, Dr. David Smith will say, and says in this pamphlet, that watching television actually is just as tiring as loads of other stuff, because you're having to be attentive, you're having to process lots of images, sound, thinking. If you're watching something, you know, really engrossing or I was about to use the word sophisticated, that's not the right word, but if you're watching something that requires a bit of effort, like, say, I don't know, The Wire, Game of Thrones, Stranger Things, where you have to kind of, oh, that's thinking, yeah, blah 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 blah, oh, that's interesting. If you're watching something that isn't, I don't know, Peppa Pig, then you're using an awful lot of cognitive power. And as we know, and please look, I know I'm probably talking to people who know what I'm talking about here, but I'm kind of thinking through my experience of it. So please do not think for a minute that I'm thinking that you don't know about this kind of stuff. You're probably sitting there going, yeah, I know. 20 years ago, I figured this out. So I know that. I'm just talking through what I'm doing at the moment. And if you're new, perhaps, to the world of ME, welcome! Then this might be useful to you, and you might find identification. But I'm not for once suggesting that you have not experienced this. I'm just sharing my experience. Ah, boy. How many more codicils, excuses, and apologies can I make in one episode, I wonder? I'm doing well this week, aren't I? Right, okay. So, no screens. Because you might as well be, you know, reading a book or doing a mathematical puzzle. The amount of cognitive processing required. And obviously, if you're anything like me with your ME, then cognitive processing is very, very hard. So actually lying down and watching telly is using more energy than I have and more energy than I should be using. And that's really clicked for me. So I've been quite, again, rigorous application to test a theory. We're scientists today. Get your lab coat. And so that's what I've been doing. Really small amounts of anything. I'm pulling up now on my phone. I've got my diary. I think it's easier probably if I talk you through what my diary, same every day. If I'm really working hard, I keep this the same every single day, and I'll walk you through it. And if anything jumps up, we'll see. So I get up at the same time every day. That's important. So I'm trying to get up. My wife gets up about 6:45. So I'm trying to get up at about 7. Go to bed at the same time every night as well, which is about 10:30. So getting up at about 7, go to bed at 10:30. So I chill out. And then at 8 o'clock, I have a wash. And after doing that, then I'll sit down for 10 minutes. So any major action is followed by 10 minutes of quiet. And that will be either sitting still or, you know, sitting still for 10 minutes lots of times a day. Not fun. So I am allowed in Dr. Smith's, you know, good and bad list of things you can do. I'm allowed an audiobook or a podcast. So at that point, I'll listen to an audiobook or a podcast for 10 minutes. After that, I will have breakfast. As I mentioned before, I make overnight oats, soaked oats, on a Sunday evening, a big, huge tub of it, and that lasts me most of the week. So breakfast's pretty easy because it's already made. And I do that. After that, then I'll do another, because that's been an activity, I'll do another 10 minutes of podcast or audiobook. If there's time before 9 o'clock, all my things happen on the hour. If there's time then, I've got a list of pottering things. Pottering's quite important. Just 5 minutes or less. For, you know, you set your own times of how long you do things for. So you might start much less than me. You might start much more than me. These are my times. And if I've got time left after the 10-minute rest, I'll do some pottering. And I'll give you an idea of what my pottering for 5 minutes might be. This is based on my levels, what I can achieve. I might text somebody. I might hang out some washing. I might put a clothes wash on. I might do dishes. But I'm very strict. I do this for 5 minutes and then stop. And then another 10-minute rest. At 9 o'clock, then I'll do a meditation. There will be a show coming up, I think. On meditation, because I get an awful lot from it, and I think a lot of other people do. So we'll probably do a show on meditation in the near future. So I will meditate. There's loads of really good ones out there. Listen to a meditation podcast. I find them fabulous. Sets my day up well. And then some more pottering. 5 minutes pottering, maybe clean out the cat litter, then 10-minute rest. 5 minutes pottering, maybe do something in the garden for only 5 minutes. 10 minutes audiobook or podcast, 5 minutes pottering, maybe reply to an email, then 10 minutes audiobook or podcast. At 10 o'clock, I do a bit of work. So I'll do this podcast. I'll record it for 15 minutes or edit it for 15 minutes, or I'll do some research I wanted to do. 15 minutes, stop. Rest for 10 minutes, do some pottering. That's, and continue that till 11 o'clock. At 11 o'clock, exercise. Dr. Smith points out that it is easier, in his experience, for us to build up our physical abilities way before our cognitive abilities. So I do exercise. I said before I bought a treadmill. I'm using it. So I will get the treadmill and I'll do at 11 o'clock 30 minutes of walking. That's gentle walking. I can't really leave the house unaided. It's just too much for me at the moment. So I will do I'll do 30 minutes of a gentle walk on the treadmill and then rest. At 12 o'clock I'll have another wash probably, because actually, you know, combination of factors, I'm usually pretty tired out even after a 30-minute walk on the treadmill. And then wash at 12. Then I'll podcast, audiobook, Potter, 5 minutes. Then at 1 o'clock, I'll do some more work at the podcast for 15 minutes, then rest, then lunch, and then rest. Then 2 o'clock, I will allow myself, and I've just recently introduced this, I'll read for 15 minutes. Not sure if that's going to be sustainable. I'm testing that because reading does take it out of me. And then after that, I'll meditate again to kind of chill out after the reading. Meditations last anything, usually around 15 minutes, those ones in the afternoon. I use meditation minis from Shell Hamilton. I've used them for years. I think they're absolutely fantastic. If you don't listen to meditations, it might be a nice entry level ones because they're all about 10, 11 minutes long. And they're really nice, I think. At 3 o'clock, I'll allow myself TV. So that is pretty much the first screen of the day. I'll watch TV for 15 minutes because I've got to have some reward in my life, you know. And then maybe I'll go on Twitter for 10 minutes after that, but take a 10-minute audiobook podcast gap in between. At 4 o'clock, I'll read a comic book. I'm allowing myself one comic book a day. I enjoy comic books. Then I will rest for 10, 15 minutes, audiobook, podcast. Then I'll try again. I'm just introducing this to play a video game. At the moment, I'm playing games on my Switch for 15 minutes and then rest again. And then at 5 o'clock, I'll tidy up a little bit, tidy the house if I can, and then rest, podcast, audiobook, and then maybe watch another 10 minutes of television. And that's my day. After stepping me up to 6 p.m., my wife gets home from work, Maggie gets home from work at about 5:30, and then kind of the evening goes. But I find that the most important thing is, can you repeat that for 2 weeks? And every day I write down whether I stuck to it rigidly, rigorous application of the theory, or did I overdo it in certain areas? Some things I can't avoid. I mean, I've had a couple of dentist appointments that have caused me the crash for a whole week recently, you know, while I was off that month. So that messes things up, and I got to restart then, you know. So this is a long term thing, but that's kind of what you know what people recommend. And like I said, I'm very happy to experiment because otherwise I wouldn't be making any progress. So if there's a chance of progress, I'll try it. So I write down in my, I've got a little spreadsheet here where I write, I've got my daily diary, what I'm doing, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, blah, blah, blah. Then I'll write down underneath it, did I stick to that or did I overdo it? And then beside that, for the next morning, I'll write down, did I sleep well? And did I wake up refreshed? And Dr. Smith does suggest, and I've spoken this with my doctor, and I have applied this, a low dose of amitriptyline to help with the sleeping. So I'm on 10 milligrams of amitriptyline, which I take an hour before bed. And I have to say, that is giving me a solid and I think deep sleep. And after the first, you know, week or so, I did start feeling refreshed. So what I like about this from Dr. David Smith is within the second day of doing it, I actually felt productive. I'm not good at managing myself without this severe structure, this strong structure. I realize I'll overdo it. I won't look at the time. I'll push myself till I crash and then have to spend the rest of the day on the sofa. But this, I've got alarms on my watch bleeping every 10 minutes. All right, stop that. Sit down. Listen to this. Do this for 5 minutes. Bleep, bleep, bleep. Okay, you can go and have a shower. Bleep, bleep, bleep. Okay, sit down for 10 minutes. Listen to an audiobook. Boy, I'm getting through so many audiobooks. So I did find in applying this within a day or two, I was actually feeling productive and I did wake up feeling refreshed. Now, obviously, you need to download, if you're interested, you need to download this yourself and read through it. And that the numbers I just gave you, for example, working on the podcast twice a day for 15 minutes, that's after about 4 weeks of doing this and gradually increasing things. So you might start at 15 minutes, you might start at 3 minutes or 4 minutes. you like, I appreciate that being able to walk on the treadmill for 30 minutes, that's pretty good. You know, I'm very grateful for that. You might be, I will walk to the bathroom twice. You know, I'll walk down one flight of stairs in my house once a day. So, because we're all different. I've been in that position. I spent a year where there's no chance I could have walked 30 minutes on a treadmill. You know, I couldn't have been out of bed for 30 minutes. You know, I spent a year like that. So I appreciate we're in different places. But I think my kind of bottom line on this from ME/CFS, You Can Get Better by Dr. David Smith, is I'm continuing it because I'm finding that I am sleeping well. I'm waking up feeling refreshed. But I think most importantly for me, I'm feeling productive. I have a list of things like the consistency. I've always said on this show that the lack of consistency can really get you down about this illness. But this approach is allowing me to be more consistent than I think I've been in years. And that's not, you know, I'd want to say I'm consistently running 5K, or I'm consistently going out to dinner with friends or Maggie. That's not it. I'm consistently washing dishes every day. I'm consistently putting a wash of clothes on, a laundry wash on. But that, you know what? That's more consistency than I've had in quite some time. So I'm going to stick with this. I'll check in from time to time because I'm not. It's called ME/CFS. You Can Get Better. And I do believe I have to hope that I will get better. I'm not going to say, hey guys, miracle cure. Find this. You know, everybody needs to do it. But anything that makes me feel better, you know, I'm grateful for the opportunity to keep applying it. So I'll check in from time to time and let you know how that's going. But I thought I would spend this episode today just taking you through how I'm doing. And, you know, you may be lapsed in pacing and, you know, perhaps this will inspire you to try it again. You may be new to having ME/CFS, and in that scary time whenever you realize that things aren't going to get better tomorrow and you're in this for quite a while, you know, if you're just going from crash to overexertion. I've done that most of the time. So, you know, for folks like you, then, you know, I hope this has been of some use. If you've got any experience of anything like this, of pacing, of Dr. David Smith, again, I'll say I'm not endorsing this. I'm just saying I'm trying this at the moment. What are you up to? So do get in touch. What are you working on within the world of pacing? I know everybody, I think we all talk about pacing. I've certainly have, but I find it so hard to rigorously apply pacing. You know, I could find an excuse every single day to either do too much or to say to myself, do you know what? You did some great pacing over the last 3 days. Why don't you just spend all day watching pro wrestling on television? But I kind of, Dr. David Smith has taken the fun out of that option of rewarding myself with a day in front of Battlestar Galactica, because I realize now if I did spend the day, you know, oh, I'm going to spend all day watching Arrested Development, then I actually would be doing myself a damage because I'd be using far more processing power than I have. That makes real sense. I kind of feel like, why didn't I see that before? But it's kind of like our episode on food last week as well. It's like, what I described to you that day, I feel productive and it's all really good, but sometimes I just want to watch some pro wrestling or just disappear, just escape into a good TV show for 3 hours or 4 hours or an afternoon with my feet up on the sofa. that's a dubious luxury that I don't think I can afford. And that's a bit frustrating. That's a bit annoying because I do enjoy that. Who doesn't, you know? But so far, by being a bit disciplined about that, I am feeling day to day better. And I think I'm a better person to be around probably as well, you know. And it makes home life easier whenever Maggie comes home and the dishes are done and some tidying is done, you know. Because I've been more disciplined. So anyway, that's my experience over the last few weeks. Like I say, I'm not going to harp on about it. I'm not going to harp on about my weight changes either. These are just snippets of a life with Emmy. And I feel like our snippet for this week has come to an end. As I said at the beginning, I'm sorting out quite a few people to be guests on the show in the future. But I am always happy to hear from you if you feel like now is your time. Like I've said quite a few times before, you know, there's a queue. It's an open door policy. Jump the queue, come straight in, settle down. Just get in touch. Fire me an email. It's really not all about me at gmail.com. Follow on Twitter, send a DM at zero all about me. And say you'd like to come on the show. Say you'd like to share your experience. And you will be more than welcome. Till then, though, until next week, thank you for stopping by and having a coffee. I hope you have the very best day that you can. Until next time, take care of yourself and each other. Cheers.